This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the Blueberry Studio by Combo by Design in Columbus, Ohio. Happy Earth Day from NASA. Sirius XM without Howard Stern. Did Wi-Fi Finder collect your Wi-Fi password? And NASA is testing the Navy's Cicadia drones. I want to welcome you to episode 1,363 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, April 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support the show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Got a great lineup for you tonight. Lots of stuff to talk to. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners that are part of the Ohana here. And of course, those of you that have been longtime subscribers of the show, thanks for being here. Little bit different setup tonight. I'm in the studio here, our brand new studio at Blueberry. We'll be talking a little about that tonight. So we'll get into it here in a few minutes. But if you're a brand new listener, I want you to take time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're on the website, get subscribed to the podcast. It's right there on the right-hand column of the website, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Android, Spotify. There's multiple ways to subscribe to this show. We are where you are listening to your audio content today. So get over there and get subscribed to the show. And while you're on the website, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to be talking about during the show today. So all you got to do is get signed up for the newsletter. That way you will never miss a single episode of the podcast. Of course, you can listen on blueberry.com to this podcast, or you can use your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, which is running on a Mastodon server, or you can hook up on Slack. Just send me an email. Let me know that you want to be part of our Slack family. You can contact me via email at geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter @geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Of course, partner shows, which are linked at geeknewscentral.com, include the GNC Week in Review, The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, The New Media Show, and of course, Podcast Legends. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show has the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That is our good friends at GoDaddy.com. You want to make sure you get over to GoDaddy at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All my deals are there, whether it be a 30% discount, whether it be a 99cent.com, whether it be a managed WordPress site for $1 a month for the first month, which includes a free domain, or you can get a regular hosting account at GoDaddy, again, $1 a month for the first year with a free domain. Those are some great deals you can find at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. As you know, Geek News Central is powered. All my domains, everything is running via GoDaddy. Definitely get hooked up with any products and services over there. They're true, tested, and they've been a longtime supporter of this show, and I hope you will definitely check out my promo codes. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And if you're a business owner, don't forget about the website builder. That's a great product for you. You can get a 30-day trial on that. Again, check out all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Well, I want to just say hello to everyone, and boy, oh boy, it's been kind of an interesting couple of days. Wrapped everything up at home, had three full suitcases, plus a carry-on, plus an additional bag, so I had five total bags loaded with God knows how much dollars worth of gear, and I know how much it was a lot. And we went to the airport and used curbside check-in, tipped the guy that, the bellman or whatever they call those folks now, the sky caps, or anyway, tipped him really well and got my stuff to the airplane and everything loaded and made it. Although the United app did not update out of San Francisco with one of the bags. I was pretty concerned until I saw that it was reloaded on my third flight. So to save a little money, I took a little bit longer route to get here, Honolulu to San Francisco, San Francisco to Dulles, which is, of course, outskirts of Washington, D.C., and then down to Columbus on a puddle jumper. Got in here on time, got into the hotel, crashed for a couple of hours, had some food, really kind of made a short evening of it, got a good night's sleep, and then got in here first thing this morning into the office. Basically just, I had my head down all day with meetings and calls, and then I walked into the studio, and I know that some furniture had gotten rearranged, but really everything was a wreck. And so I spent about probably two and a half hours getting things arranged in the studio, getting everything hooked back up. Now we're I'm the trial run here, a little bit of a guinea pig on levels, anything like that. I can see at the beginning of the show, the levels of the show were high. So I've reached down here and lowered the levels just a little bit. You never know until you start recording exactly where everything is, because you really can't trust the monitors, you know, the meters, I mean, on all the devices. But I posted some pictures up on my Facebook page. You guys can see it. So tonight I'm using a Shure SM7B. Got an Audio-Technica headset. The audio is a little low in it, but and this is the first time I've been using a dynamic mic in a long while, especially mounted to a boom arm. I usually use a condenser when in the studio in Honolulu. But anyway, that's what's been going on. The entire team has left for the day. I'm getting started doing the show at about 7 p.m. Eastern, which is really an hour earlier than if I'd done it in Hawaii, if I was within the same time zone. So we'll start to see where my show hours are. And I have a funny feeling that once I get everything done in this studio, because the next step is I'm already pre-planning how I'm going to set this up to do video. And I'm pretty excited about that. And light placement is going to be a bit of a challenge, but I think it's going to be relatively straightforward to do a one or two camera shot here. I do want to have the ability to have video Skype customers come, or video Skype as well. So all that is down the road here a little bit, but I'm already starting to make a list on what I'm going to need in this studio, at least to be able to go video and have what I need to do what we need here. And the wall behind me is orange. And it will make for a perfect green screen situation. It'll be orange screen. And so I'm just pretty pleased so far. But yeah, lots of work to do. And things are shaping up here in the studio. Need some soundproofing, though. I can tell there's a little bit of an echo in here. So we'll get that dialed in over the next week while I'm here and see if we can get the studio in ship shape for me to be back in a little over a month. And then bringing in and setting up to be able to do video production out of the studio, which to me is very, very, very exciting. But anyway, that's what's going on. And again, here we're in the Convo by Design Blueberry Studio. The Convo by Design is the table that was produced for us by Convo by Design, and which I spent the most of the day kind of rearranging and re-racking and get everything set up, and I've got some feedback to give to the company on this. This is a lovely, lovely, lovely studio. We can put up to six people on this. I got mic stands and mics and wiring for six, and I don't know if we'll ever get six on here at once, but it's very easy to do so just by moving the table around a little bit, and bada bing, bada boom, we'll be in business. So anyway, let's go ahead and move into the regular content tonight. I do want to thank all of you for being here, and it'll be exciting. Two shows this week out of a studio here in Columbus. And yeah, so anyway, moving on. Of course, today is Earth Day. For those of you listening to the show, it's the day after Earth Day. And NASA has put together some amazing images that show Earth from above. And of course, there's some that were produced by even back in Apollo 10 days that they put up online, but lots of great pictures from the folks at NASA that just show you the beauty of the planet we live upon, and of course, a view from Mars even. It's pretty dramatic here, some of the stuff that they put online for. So that link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. But happy Earth Day. And yes, we have a lovely planet that we're on. Next up is a article about Sirius XM. You know, I remember back in the day, you could get Sirius XM digitally. You didn't have to have a car. You had to buy a little external unit. But now you can subscribe to Sirius XM and you can stream with a mobile streaming plan, and you don't have to have a receiver in a car. But they have something called the New Essentials Plan. It's $8 per month. You get a 90-day test run for just $1. The package includes over 200 Sirius XM channels spanning the network service entire selection of music channels, as well as several channels for news, sports, and comedy. And subscribers will be able to stream these channels through an app or their smartphone or on other mobile devices, as well as in-home hardware like smart TVs, video game consoles, and smart speakers. Now, ironically, the Essential Plan cuts out a few pieces of programming that have become essential. One of those is Sirius XM's Howard Stern Show. It'll also exclude NBA, NCAA, and NHA sports channels, NHL, excuse me, sports channels. That content will be exclusive to a $13 premium plan that is set to launch in mid-May. So if you want Stern, you're going to have to pay more to get Stern. I would have paid for Stern for $8, but $13? Come on, that's pushing it just a little bit, to be honest with you here. So I think I'll skip on this and continue to listen to a lot of podcasts, as you should as well. Over in Gizmodo, there's a report that if you used a specific app called Wi-Fi Finder, put together by a Chinese group, well, the password of the private Wi-Fi networks you connected to have been leaked online. Thousands of users of this app, with the stated purpose, which is obvious, is to locate and provide credentials for public Wi-Fi hotspots. What we found is that users inadvertently submitted their own home Wi-Fi passwords to the app's database, which is now leaked online. TechCrunch reported that the app is produced by a company out of China. It's been used by over 100,000 people to collect more than 2 million Wi-Fi passwords globally. The database includes network names, which is the SSID, precise geolocation, and plain text passwords, among other data. And again, shouldn't come as a surprise of, you know, things coming out of China with, you know, being non-encrypted. So very sloppy security, of course, now ends up with lots of you that may have used this app. So if you haven't changed your Wi-Fi password on your home network in some time, it may be time to do so. So definitely check the article out. And if you use the Wi-Fi Finder app, you have been compromised. The NASA did a pretty cool test. They did a swarm of 100 U.S. Navy Cicadia drones. Now, what's unique about this is the tiny drones travel to their destination and basically a carrier. Another drone carries them to a specific location, and then the drones are ejected from the what they call the hive, and their wings unfold, and these are just little gliders. They're not powered drones, but they are designed to fly to a specific GPS location. So if they're dropped high enough, the devices themselves steer themselves to the location, circle in, and land on a precise GPS location to provide information back to the mothership, which collects it and I guess then transfers the data on forward. But they were doing, in their colonies, GPS-guided micro-disposable air vehicles. And the NASA is looking into them, and they provide temperature, air pressure, wind speed, and the drones one day could be dropped through clouds or storm systems to gather detailed data during their descent. So NASA said the test was a great success, and there's about a two-minute video for you to watch if you want to see how this worked and some of the data behind it. Pretty cool on the tech side, but I wasn't familiar with these drones at all, but it is interesting that they are just gliders. And you think about the range of things that could be done if you ejected any type of a device from a drone and it dropped and survived the drop and could be dropped in an area where not something is not easily found. You can think about all the activities that that device could do over a period of time, depending on battery life. So lots of very, very cool stuff. Don't necessarily need a man driving in to put something in place anymore. Now you just put it on a drone and go. Over on Android Central, there's a good article about talking about how tough or how waterproof your phone is. And there's some ratings out called they're called IP ratings. IP ratings refer to the international protection marking rating that was given after a series of tests were performed to see how much dust and water can enter your phone and under what circumstances. And each number of the letter stands for a different level of protection, and the full list of them are in the article that I'm linking to in the show notes. So it really can talk about the solid particle protection, the liquid ingress protection, and it starts at zero, being not protected at all on all these scales, up to six, where six is dust tight, dust can't enter even in a vacuum. I don't think many phones are going to get a six, but liquid ingress protection starts at zero. Goes up to nine times. So basically, protection is water sprayed from high flow and high pressure jets at high temperature. So it talks about water at force. So that's on a scale from 0 to 9x. Additional protection designations include oil resistance, high voltage protection, motion during any testing, no motion during any testing, weather resistant, and so forth. So it's very, very cool. Now, the U.S. military has something called MIL standard. And that specifies how something will fare against the environment during its lifetime. And Android phones, watches, and other electronics often carry the MIL standard 810G certification, which means it was tested in a lab under conditions that simulate a gigantic list of environmental variables and still work. Some of the things that are tested, including temperature extremes, altitude, thermal shock, fungal ingress, and being frozen solid. It's an exhaustive list. And if your phone passed those tests, you should expect it to survive anything, including a week with what? Oh, if someone's being funny here. Bear Grylls, who's that? But anyway, I don't think it protects you from a nuclear explosion, but it does go into the details here on how tough your phone really, truly is. Of course, Mac and PCs are the rage these days. It's the majority of folks are using those types of laptops and desktops. But you do remember there is a category of devices out there called Chromebooks. And there's a new list from the folks at CNET talking about the best Chromebooks for students in 2019. You know, Microsoft Windows, I was running a Windows machine the majority of the day today. It's one of the things I brought from Hawaii is one of my Windows machines. So I set it up on my desk here in the Columbus office and got the updates done. And it's just kind of, after I've been off Windows now for a while, I'll be honest with you, it's interesting to go back and be using a Windows machine again on a day-to-day basis. But the office here is mostly Windows-based. There's only one, Mackenzie is one of our team members. She runs on a Mac, but everyone else is on PCs in the office. And I guess it's just a dev tool. I'm sure some dev shops are on Windows, but that said, external monitors here weren't necessarily set up for for Mac. So I ordered a monitor today and a dock so that I can easily come in here and hook up my MacBook and have it run on a dock and have access to big screens and so forth while I'm in the office. So those products arrive over the next couple of days, and I'll get my desk completely finished setting up so that when I walk in here, I can get right to business as I'm transitioning. But these Chromebooks, there's a good list here of Chromebooks that have been reviewed and a variety of price range. Some of them starting as low as $200 to $300 and some as high as $600. So example, the Lenovo Chromebook 500E, the Acer Chromebook 15, the Lenovo Yoga Chromebook Laptop, HP Chromebook version 2, the Asus Chromebook C434. So anyway, all these are available today, and there's good review on each one of them on this article. So if you're thinking about a Chromebook for a student, definitely check it out. There's a good article on MakeUseOf.com talking about spear phishing and how to spot and avoid this email scan. Now, if you're knowledgeable about internet security, you know, you probably heard about, and we've talked about on the show, about phishing before. You've obviously, if you've been on the internet more than a day, you've received emails pretending to be from your bank, from Microsoft, from Apple, from everyone that wants you to click a link to basically be scammed into trying to log into a system that is really not your listing. And those are pretty easy to tell. And in fact, if I get an email from a bank or from Microsoft, I don't ever click the link. Even if it looks like the link is good, I always go to the website directly, log in, look for any messages that may have been sent to me. And you should do the same. You should be very, very careful, because there's a much more sophisticated version of this type of technique, and it's called spear phishing. This is where you as an individual is a target and not just this widespread netcast, where you're the target of a very well-researched and personalized phishing campaign. Even seasoned internet users can be tricked by this. Spear phishing follows a known pattern. So the phishers will begin by researching you and learning about the company you work for, your colleagues, the projects that you may be currently work on. Then you'll receive an email that appears to come from someone you know. As an example, it may reference a project you're working on or an issue you're dealing with. It may even reference a forthcoming event or a mutual contact. In the email will be a link to a file you're instructed to download, and this is where you're going to get in trouble. Often the file will be hosted on a service like Dropbox or Google Drive. When you go to the page hosting the file, you'll be asked to enter your credentials. The login site would look just like a legitimate Google site or similar login page, and this is where you get owned. So the scammer then has a username and password for your Google account or other important account, and they can use this to access your accounts. So be careful about these types of emails that come in. Don't trust anything. Trust but verify, folks. That's the key here. I don't hang out in Twitter communities very much. I hang out in a lot of Facebook groups. But Twitter is one of the biggest social media platforms out there, of course. And there's some Twitter communities that are currently thriving on the platform. And you can join that community and be able to get that specific train of discussions that are going on. There's one from a science group, one that's about books, one that's about specifically about news, another one about space, even a group that is set up, or a community, I should say, these are communities that talks about movies. And of course, our favorite one here, the technology Twitter stream as well. So lots of things. And if you're a Trekkie, there's those for you as well. So definitely check out the Twitter communities and join one and get in on the conversation. It might be a little less crazy than what Facebag has become. So definitely check it out. Over on Extreme Tech, they're reporting NASA is prepping a mission to the most interesting asteroid in our solar system. By 2022, if all goes well, NASA will launch the Psyche, yes, Psyche space probe, intending to visit an asteroid of the same name, 16 Psyche, which is its formal designation. It's a particularly exciting mission given Psyche's unique nature and highly unusual composition. Now, I didn't know this, but the asteroid belt is composed of three different types of asteroids. C-type, there's the S-type, and M-type, which are roughly 10% of the total population. The numbers in this case don't add up to 100%, but they aren't sure the exact ratios. 16 Psyche is an M-type asteroid made of iron and nickel. And what makes it unusual is it is believed to be the now exposed core of a protoplanet. It's also estimated to be worth 10,000 quadrillion dollars if anybody has a towing hitch handy. I don't fully understand that why. Maybe gold and silver and whoever else is in this thing. But 16 Psyche isn't that big. It's only 112 kilometers, and it isn't round. So NASA's going to head out there and check it out. So exciting science ahead for all of us that follow this type of stuff. Uwe, or I like to call them Huwe, or Go Away Way, apparently their business is doing just fine. So they issued a financial report. This is the first time they've ever done this. They said today that its first quarter revenue jumped 39% compared to a year ago. This is a sign that the Chinese company's business continues to grow in the face of a U.S.-led campaign meant to paint them as they are, in my opinion, as a security risk. Again, it's the first time Uwe has released a quarterly report, and the move also certainly intended to show the U.S. has failed to stunt the growth of the company. So how much did they earn? $26.8 billion, or 179.7 billion won. What do you guys, weigh in? No one's weighed in on Uwe. Uwe. What do you guys think of this? What do you think of their dealio? You know, do you trust them? Have you learned enough on this show to be able to say, I wouldn't use that product, or yes, I would, or is it inconclusive? Where are you at? What side of the fence are you on? geeknews@gmail.com. Being reported by Ars Technica that a Model S burst in flames in a parking lot in China. It's a pretty cool video. This thing goes up in smoke and in flame and like, oh my God, I would not have wanted to have been in the car because escaping it would have been, you got to watch this video. It's very, very scary. In a matter of 23 seconds, it went from no smoke to be fully emblazed. It's bad. And the Tesla team, Tesla has sent a team to Shanghai to take a look at this, but it was in a parking garage and several other vehicles were also damaged in this. But if you, when you see this video, I'm not kidding you, you're going to think second. You're going to take a second and think about this because I look at it and I'm like, how do you escape this and not get hurt? You're going to get burned. Take a look. It's very, very scary. Someone could have died if they'd been in the vehicle, in my opinion. Interesting announcement by the Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA, is joining Instagram. And why are they joining Instagram? Are they going to post pictures of waterboarding or something like that? But it appears that their HR team is going to be doing some sort of Instagram account. They've been on Twitter already. Oh, their public affairs account. Public affairs is getting ready to launch an Instagram account. So one way to reach the masses is through Instagram. I have to laugh because I was going over talking with Angelo this afternoon, our CIO, talking about our Amazon bill. And you know, you've come to an age when you can no longer pay your Amazon bill with a credit card and you have to do a bank transfer. That's we've been in that state for a while. It's always kind of an impressive thing to send that much cash to a specific company. But I didn't feel bad after I read the article about Apple spending more than $30 million on Amazon Cloud every month, making it one of the biggest AWS customers. $30 million. That to me is incredible. And you know, Apple took the time to build an incredible data center. You know, they've moved a lot of stuff in-house, but to still have a bill of $30 million a month, blows me away. And they definitely pay their bill via bank transfer as well. I bet you they pay their bill daily. Tesla is another news article is accusing investors, a pair of investors, of harassing and stalking its workers. They've had to get a restraining order on this particular investor. It's crazy. These two guys are trying to get the stock shorted, I think. But they've threatened employees. They've followed people around. They've done all kinds of stuff. They've tried to leak material. It's wild. And these folks that are doing this work for Volkswagen. And so I don't know what their position is at Volkswagen, but anytime a company has to a restraining order on individuals, that's pretty serious. It's it shows that there's a real issue there. But the Tesla team appears to be quite frustrated over this because they can't get a restraining order that's very long, and that's what they're kind of complaining about. But anyway, we'll watch this one. Hey, Russian hackers are hijacking computers at U.S. embassies, but this does not appear to be a state-backed campaign. So these cyber attacks against American embassies have attempted to compromise PCs by tricking officials into spear phishing and phishing exercises into loading malware. Most often they've been emailing Excel spreadsheets with malicious macros that would hijack a computer using the popular remote access app TeamViewer. They don't seem to be very sophisticated in this, but they've also attacked government officials at several revenue authorities. I guess, what is that? IRS, Treasury? And Checkpoint noted that there's been similar campaigns that targeted Russian speakers. At least one of the culprits' name, Eva Pix, has been linked to a hacking forum where card theft was a subject of discussion. So it appears to be all financially motivated, but once again, Russian hackers in the news. Tomorrow is a day that's kind of interesting from a podcasting standpoint. The $100 million startup Luminary launches without Reply All or The Daily, and I hope they haven't indexed Geek News Central over there, but they're offering a Netflix-style offering. We've got about 60 shows that are premium. You pay $6, $7, $8 a month to get access to them. What do you think of this? What do you think about these shows put behind paywalls? Are any of the shows that you listen to going behind the paywall tomorrow? We sent out a newsletter today and talked about this exact topic, and we've got about a 50-50 response so far from folks saying, yes, this is great for podcasting, this is going to help my show, or I've went behind a paywall before because it was the only way I could have the show survive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm just hoping that all of you that listen to this show do not pay the $7.99 a month to access the exclusive content from The Daily Show, from Trevor Noah, for Queer Eye star Carmel Brown, and girls writer and actress Lena Dunham. Please, please don't go over there and give Luminary any money. If you do, tell me why you did. Were you a fan of one of those shows in such a big way that you'd pay $8 a month? If you do, don't forget about your geek here and becoming an insider, because your $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, $25 a month donation, I guarantee you, will go a lot further in helping me keep great content coming to you if you donate directly to me. Obviously, if I was on Luminary, they would be the middleman. I'm not. I'm not offering premium content over there. But it's very easy for podcasters to do their own premium content. And I'm sure many of you are subscribed to shows that have premium content. I've always said that with a sponsor and with the type of show I do here, that it really doesn't make sense to go to a premium model. And don't think I ever will. But if you continue to support the show as an insider and we build that base of listeners that are contributing monthly to a show, that would really help me in the long run, losing dependence upon, you know, any changes to sponsorships in the future. So anyway, that's the beg today, is become an insider at eatoncentral.com/insider. There's a Google walkout today. Leaders accuse the company of retaliation. Wow. So two of the seven Google employees organized a massive walkout last November say they've faced retaliation after leading a protest which sought to change Google's handling of sexual misconduct. Meredith Whitaker says she was told her role would be changed dramatically. Claire Stapleton was told she would be demoted. The two claim they're not alone and they plan to gather more stories and strategize with colleagues. Stapleton got news of her demotion just months after the protest when she brought the issue into human resources. The environment reportedly became increasingly hostile, but when she hired Alar, her demotion was reversed. In April, Google disbanded its AI ethics board and told Whitaker that in order to stay with the company, she'd have to abandon her work on AI ethics, including her role as the AI Now Institute, a research she co-founded at NYU. So, interesting move here. Definitely not all completely well in Google land. All right, the Apple Watch Series 5, there's rumors. And of course, it's more likely going to be about fitness, battery life, a sleeping mode. Of course, now my Apple Watch is on the charger every evening. I don't get a day and a half out of my Apple Watch. But the Apple Watch Series 5 is supposedly going to be better. I do love my Series 4. I don't see the need to upgrade to a Series 5 unless they really blow me away. But to go longer, they definitely need better battery life. And we could be potentially looking at more FDA-cleared health features. So maybe a rumor of a face watch store, a watch face store. And that doesn't really excite me that much. But we will see. And also, when will an Apple Watch work without an iPhone? That's the next question. So time will tell on this. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to review. Not surprisingly, considering all the negative reviews so far, Samsung has delayed its $2,000 folding phone after test units have been breaking. And they are not announcing a new date yet. Samsung says the phones broke when some reviewers removed a screen protector on the device. Other devices broke after substances were found inside devices that affected performance. So Samsung said the Galaxy Fold needs further improvement before it releases the phone to consumers, and it will continue to evaluate feedback it's received and further test the phone. Samsung said it will announce a new release date in the coming weeks. This is bound to happen. This is a folding phone. Come on. You know, sounds all good, but, you know, we beat the living crap out of our phones. I mean, we abuse them, you know, and that's life, right? That's rightly so. But a folding phone, you know, come on. And to me, it just seems like, do you need that much screen? If you do, carry a tablet. You know, why not? So, today's show is relatively short. Kirk and I were talking online, and just not a lot of news today. A little bit tight news afternoon. So this runs through the stack. And, of course, the show always runs a little faster when I'm not doing video. Definitely runs a little quicker. But today we're getting you out of here really fast, which is okay because I can get some food and back to the hotel room and get this episode posted. So I'd love to hear your feedback. How does the audio sound from our studio here? And what I'm going to do with the audio tonight is I'm just going to run it through Aphonic. I'm not going to do any special processing on the audio. And by the way, I found out what was wrong with the studio for the last show at home. One of the solo buttons on the mixer. So last show had no processing. The audio didn't go through the big bottom, didn't go through the equalizer, didn't go through half. So you really got a raw show last time that was basically mixer only. And no wonder that audio was weird to me. I could have just figured it out if I took the cover off of the mixer. But anyway, to check out my Facebook page with the pictures of the studio here. Let me know if the sound is good. Do you like the sound? And definitely email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. I'd love to hear your feedback on the studio and the sound that resonates out of this. I do know we need to get some soundproofing up in this room, a little bit of echoing going on. I can hear it when I peek out a little bit. So that'll get that on order and get that in here maybe before the end of the week. It's interesting when you're on in the mainland, I thought that most places had Amazon first same day delivery. Here in Columbus, even though they have a warehouse, the only way you get same day delivery is agreeing to go pick it up at a pickup location. They don't have drivers here to drop stuff off same day. You can get stuff on a 2-day delivery with paying a premium, even if you're on Prime, which I thought was curious. But most of the stuff is 3 days or more, which actually kind of surprised me even more based on I can get stuff in Hawaii within 3 to 4 days. So I would have thought it had been a little quicker here in the Columbus area, but that's not the case. Okay, so we'll get out of here. Thanks for being here. Please support the sponsor. Share my codes. Tell your friends about GoDaddy. Tell them about my codes. Share that in your office, friends, family members, people that you know. Link to me from your social media accounts and blogs and Twitters and Instagram posts. Definitely, that is greatly appreciated and helps me and this show immensely. I just can't imagine. So geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, if you don't want to do that, become an insider. Support the show with a $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month donation. And really, if you're at $2, it's 6.7 cents a day. I hope I'm worth at least that. So if we could get every one of you, every single listener, to come in just at the $2 level, that would be massive. And you know, we'll take it at one shot. You want to do a $24 PayPal payment? Easy. geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, it's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. We'll be back with you on Wednesday, because Thursday, impossible for me to show. Friday, impossible for me to do the show. So there will be another show on Wednesday, midweek show. So look for that in your podcatcher a day early. It's been my pleasure bringing the podcast to everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time from the Combo by Design Studio in Columbus, Ohio at Blueberry headquarters. Take care. Aloha.